This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The Latin of this text from the Gospel has signum, sign, instead of miracle. So literally, the priest sings at the altar, "This beginning of signs did Jesus," because every prophet produces them. They are his credentials from God. The working of miracles, the true sign of our Savior's divinity, and this is his first public miracle. If you are of a certain age, you may remember with me a certain buzzword of the changes. 50 years ago, Vatican II's revolution was launched with the phrase, "the signs of the times." And since we're doing signs in our sermons until I run out or you run out of patience, what should we do about the signs of the times which abound today? Je suis Charlie. Millions of people in France cried that out in support of some satirical magazine whose writers were slain. And for freedom of speech, which means freedom not just to attack Mohammed, whose followers still seek to subdue us Christians. Islam, remember, means submission. But also openly to blaspheme Our Lady at Christmas time and the Blessed Trinity. Only in France, there's no one to stick up for the Catholic faith. So great is their hatred of religion. Not just hatred, then, of Muslim terrorists. And for the rest, the signs of the times. Incessant wars. And in Europe now, soldiers in the streets. And propaganda in the air, everywhere. And if you were to go to France or to Germany or to Italy or Spain or Portugal, you would witness the death throes of Christendom, of Christian Europe. And all of this and more we need to see in the light of the sign of today's gospel, which was the beginning of the signs, the first miracle at a marriage, at Mary's request, water made into wine, when the waiters had just started to fill the seventh jar. And all of this is full of mysteries which make us to understand. Now, the whole Mass, as usual, is our sign, which is why it is an excellent idea always to bring your missal with you on Sunday to Sunday Mass. The Collect, for example, that's the collection of all of our private petitions. That dates back to another era of barbarian invasions, probably the Lombards about the 6th, 7th century. We're asking God, who governs all things, for the gift of peace. The Epistle and the Gospel indicate to us how that works. The Gospel gives our Lord's response to Our Lady's request for a miracle. It was a colloquial phrase in Aramaic. It was frequently used. They say it sounded something like Maliulka. Bishop Challoner wasn't quite sure how to render it in English, and he put down, "What is that to me and to thee?" St. Irenaeus, every commentator differs, but St. Irenaeus translates it as, "It's none of our business." Exactly. That's the sense of it. And had the wedding been in Carolina instead of Cana, I think our Lord may very well have said, "Ma'am, we don't have a dog in that fight." And this is a great truth. We don't, with regard to the signs of the times. We don't have a dog in that fight. So relax. You don't even have to lay a bet. St. Paul is saying somewhat the same thing, I think, in the epistle. You all have different duties, and you all have different graces. So mind your own business and just do your best. Well, what is our business here as Catholics? In this world of 24-hour news and screaming headlines, and if you're so foolish as to leave your TV set to the Fox channel, well, that's its own punishment, of course, but you'll be given alerts and warnings all day and all night from the world, and its insistent signs of the times. Church leaders thought they were being quite up to date. Aggiornamento, the Italians would call it, during Vatican II, and they would change everything because, well, you see, these are the signs of the times. But be warned, as they may have discovered, to be up to date today is to be hopelessly out of date tomorrow. Nothing new is allowed. The last pope, Pius XII, taught that just before his death. For nothing may be added to the deposit of the faith. And so for us as Christians, as true Catholics, it's simple in a way, isn't it? But what is the world's business in all of this? The world which always runs at least three dogs in the race to keep it interesting. And what is God's business? The missal, our old missal in hand, we'll figure it out today. The gospel of the wedding feast. They have no wine. Our Lady, as a true mother, mothers do this, she notices things. She takes care of them. They have no wine. Why did the wine run out? Cardinal Schuster says, the world's wine runs out almost right away. It serves its followers, the world does, the very best stuff, heady stuff. It goes to your head. And then comes the exciting buzz of fun and follow the crowd. And see, you can do it too. You can make fun of everything we used to hold sacred. You have to embrace the revolution if you want to be respectable. And after all of your friends on Facebook, they're saying it already. Follow the crowd. Liberty, equality, fraternity, Masonic France's gift to us. What does this mean? Well, if you see it in the French today, the godless French, this means a hate-driven freedom from religion, not freedom of religion. What happens next? What happens when everybody gets drunk? Then that which is worse is served. Then comes the bloody truth of wars and of revolutions and of revolt against God, and reason is no more because revelation is spurned. And everybody's stumbling around drunk. Now, you know you don't talk, much less try to reason with a drunk. That's wasted time. So much for this world of ours. You know your history? What happens next? The reign of terror. That's when, as the poet says, the center cannot hold. That's when they come for you. soon enough. But for today, I'm afraid, no, je regrette, mais je ne suis pas Charlie. No, I'm not going to stand up for the blasphemers and their supposed freedoms. I have no dog in that fight. A pox on both their houses, to the Mohammedan and to the modern. After all, both have you in their sights. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Our good wine is faith. May it never run out. The mystery of faith, the blessed sacrament, the holy mass, the seven sacraments, which come to us at Mary's prayer. She notices these things. She's a mother. A wine which makes us joyful, not drunk. We sing it in it's the hymn for Lauds, the church's morning prayer on Mondays. It's a lovely little verse. Laeti bibamus sobriam ebrietatem spiritus. Joyfully, let us drink the spirit's sober drunkenness. And so clear-minded, we see the signs. And we say, ah, well, so it is. And so it always was. Today's sign, today's miracle, took place, Monsignor Knox says, just as the seventh water pot was being filled from the well. St. John's big on numbers, and for him and the ancients, the classic world, seven is the number, the sign of perfection, and it's a sign, too, of course, of the sacraments, those outward, signs of an inward, unseen grace. So our Lord may not have changed, actually. All of those water pots, those previous six, into wine, because that would have made about, for the equivalent of 50 dozen bottles of wine. And God is not wasteful, nor is God someone to tempt us. No, he who is waiting, see what's happening here. He's waiting with his mother for his hour to come when he'll change wine into his blood at the first Mass. He waits patiently there with Our Lady next to him while the waiters slowly fill from the well these six water pots. And when they get to the seventh, he says, now, take it out and give it to the chief steward to taste. As soon as we will draw water from the well of his pierced side, his sacred heart, why then we'll have joy. It will be given us. So the Mass today gives us not only a practical reminder of peace, but all of these great truths of our faith. Be in these things. Not that amalgam, that bitter draft of this world's wine, which is open blasphemy and hidden conspiracy, all served up with the froth of hypocrisy. Try baiting the Jews the way they go after the Muslims and the Christians and see how far you'd get. You'd get one of those go directly to jail cards in France. That's what you'd get. But we don't have a dog in that fight. And empires will come and go, and so will politics. And thank God the politicians. And one lie will give place to some other piece of propaganda. And Democrats as well as Republicans, they need their rallies to energize the base. But Mary needs rosaries to renew the face of the earth and to give us still today the hope of peace. There's one lingering light note with which I would like to leave you today. Why did our Lord say what he said to his mother. It has this deep mystical meaning which exalts Our Lady so very highly. If the Protestants had a clue, they would never allude to that verse again, that's for sure. But there's something else. It's a little bit of a practical guidance for you and for me in the way of humor in these things. What is it to me and to thee? Remember, it was at a wedding feast. It was a joyful affair. Everything was humor and light talk and smiles. And Jesus was teasing his mother a little bit, as he liked to do with those he loved. Martha, for example. Or even that Syrophoenician woman in the gospel who was insistent and finally got her miracle. Beforehand, he bantered with her a bit, wittily. And he says what he says. See him saying it in the gospel today with a smile. And then he gives the sign, sweet wine. Surely, this is a sign for us too, as we look to survive the long drafts of the bitter wine, the signs of our time. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.